Hey everybody, welcome to episode 12 of CreateCast, the show about people who make good. I'm your host, Chase Kay. This week's guest is an incredible producer named Dean DeChoso. I've worked with Dean on a ton of occasions, but he's also worked with Neo Geo, a bunch of other acts, everything from heavy metal to pop, and if anybody is a fan of Orange is the New Black, he actually just worked with Flocka the other day. So, super cool guy, amazing talent, guitar, drums, bass. He really just does a little bit of everything, and it's a really cool conversation. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. If you're new to the show, welcome. CreateCast is all about awesome people and what they do. Chefs, writers, musicians, you name it. As many of you know, our Season 1 giveaway is still on, so make sure to rate, comment, and subscribe to us in iTunes, and visit us at createcastpod.com to sign up for our email newsletter. One random commenter and one random email recipient will be receiving our awesome goodie bag with an incredible book, some CreateCast stickers, and a bunch of other cool stuff. And besides, it does us some good. You know, public radio sometimes asks for donations, but what I'm only asking you to do is rate, comment, and subscribe in the iTunes store. It really is a huge help to us, and make sure this podcast gets out to as many people as possible. While you're at our website, createcastpod.com, you can also check out more info about our incredible guests, the show, listen to back episodes, and as I said, this is episode 12, so there are 11 more episodes that you can check out right now. All for free, all with incredible people. Seriously, go do it. Tons of musicians, voiceover guys, actors, chefs, cool stuff. Go and listen. Believe it or not, this was actually the first interview that I recorded, so a huge, huge thanks to Dean for being my guinea pig, and a huge thanks for coming on the show. I mean, awesome guy. We geek out a little bit in the episode, but I mean, really, we first connected over video game music, and the first time I met him, we actually talked about Final Fantasy soundtracks and all sorts of geeky stuff. So, man, incredible guy, great musician, and enjoy this interview. I think you guys are going to really dig it. All right, everybody, we're sitting here with Dean DeChoso, incredible producer, songwriter, guitar player, drummer. I mean, is there anything that you don't do?
I do not fix Toyotas.
Okay, that is fair. But seriously, I mean, this guy is incredible. He's worked with some awesome bands from all over the country. I've had the opportunity to work with him, write songs with him. Man, really, thank you for sitting down.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So, let's just get started. How did music really find its way into your life?
Well, it's a pretty typical story of a, you know, Asian, you know, family upbringing, you know, not necessarily forcing classical music down my throat, but, you know, having to grow up doing that, you know, being the youngest of three brothers, my two oldest brothers heavily into classical piano. I obviously at some point I'm going to discover the piano in the middle of the house. You know, and that's pretty much where it started. You know, there's a whole slew of stories as to how that took me into rock and pop and production, but that's basically how it started, was, you know, just discovering the grand piano in the middle of the house at 4 years old.
That's awesome, man. And sort of when you decided that music was the thing, was that well-received, or was that sort of...
Well-received by who?
By your family, by friends, or was that sort of something maybe a little bit different, both for people who you had grown up with, or... Yeah,
that's an interesting question, because I keep bringing up this Asian upbringing again. You know, I guess one way to answer that question is it isn't doctor or lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an aspect of, you know, what the hell is he doing, you know, from the family. But they're all musicians, too. You know, my father is a classical guitarist. My mother's is a singer, you know, so. But they're also a doctor and a nurse. So they're trying to figure out, like, is this the right thing to do? Obviously, they're a little freaked out. My friends otherwise were not surprised, you know, and obviously it was well received by me. I didn't expect to do this for a career. It was always a hobby. You know, I was going to college, pursuing 3 degrees. So, you know, this was actually, this is a long standing continuous accident that is still alive.
Yeah.
So,
no, man, that's awesome. And maybe, what are some of the sort of bands that you grew up with sort of formative in your both playing and your writing?
Interesting. I mean, just listening to, or?
Maybe listening to, but maybe even somewhere you said, okay, I definitely don't want to be that. Were there any bands, because I think maybe people grow up and, you know, they say, all right, well, I'm in love with grunge, So therefore, everything sort of more polished, I don't like. Or they grow up with, you know, really polished stuff, and they say, all right, well, that is what I like. I don't really understand punk rock, like that sort of thing.
That's really interesting. And I think, and I know I'm supposed to be the subject of this, but I think that this is something that you and I relate on a lot. It's, you know, having grown up listening to a vast variety of influences in music. I mean, you know, the truth is, the first music I really fell in love with, you know, was like Julio Iglesias, Barbara Streisand. Mm-hmm. You know, it's whatever vinyls my mom would choose to play.
Yeah.
You know, and then eventually, you know, obviously through the piano, you know, I'm discovering very early, almost in a spoiled way, you know, the beauty of like a Bach prelude or Chopin impromptus, or, you know, really getting into things like Debussy. You know, more, you know, later guys, Tchaikovsky, Rachmaninoff. I know we're talking about rock music, and that's kind of a lot of the stuff that I do, but the truth is that's what still attracts me. So basically, that's what it was. But in terms of like the more popular stuff, yeah, I mean, once I discovered that you could put distortion on something, I mean, basically, you know, it ran the gamut, you know? I mean, beyond all the great pop music I loved through the 80s, Duran Duran, you know, The Cure and Frank Goes to Hollywood, I mean, Wang Chung, there's all this stuff. I was also getting into a whole lot of Rush, King Crimson, Pink Floyd, Zeppelin, you know, which eventually, of course, led into the great songs of the grunge era, like you said, now that you mentioned it, which is, I mean, it admittedly is a huge part of my life, and again, listening to all that fringe heavy stuff, but also being heavily into pop and songwriting.
Yeah.
I would dare say that's it. I mean, I hope that's not too broad, but...
No, I think that's something where we definitely see eye to eye, where it's having a really eclectic...
You'd have a hard time answering this question.
It would be impossible for me. So many, like, a wide range. And one thing you said that I found really interesting was just sort of the idea of the early influences being what your parents listened to. And I know that for me. I mean, even growing up in the car, you know, not knowing what it was that my dad was listening to and learning later, is like, oh, so that was AC/DC. That was Van Halen. Mm-hmm. And then on my mom's side, more classical, like, show tune stuff and sort of a weird...
She was a dancer.
Yeah,
she is a dancer. And, you know, listening to that stuff, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just this really sort of weird blend. And then, of course, you know, growing up with my brother, just weird video game music and anime and all that. And
which was a big bonding thing for you and me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, and it was awesome because, obviously, you're more than a musician. You're more than a producer. I mean, you have such a wide variety of stuff that you do, including, I mean, voiceover. I mean, it's so cool that you're able to sort of take all those influences and put them out in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm. It's the way I see it now. I mean, where I'm at in my life is, as long as it's feeding my kids, you know, I'm happy. Oh, and my Xbox game collection, I'm happy, you know?
Yeah, gotta keep the fire team fed.
Right, that's right.
A little bit of Destiny.
That's correct. Huge Destiny fan.
Yeah, I just hit my second level 32.
So you are playing?
Yeah, I'm good. On PS4 though, so it's just a little bit...
I'm gonna take a stab at this. Warlock?
Yeah.
Yes, me too. Good.
Yeah, two of them. Yeah.
Good. All right. Anyway, good stuff.
Man, so maybe what are some of like the artists that you haven't had the opportunity to work with yet that you would really like to? I mean, are there any people out there? And maybe, you know, that may be speaking a little bit more about like influences. Are there any bands where you say, I heard something in this record and it's like, wow, I want to capture that, and it would be so cool to capture it with that band?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm thankful enough, you know, for a lot of the singers and you know, sort of songwriters I get to work with. But yeah, since you're bringing up bands a lot, I mean, the truth is, like, my guilty pleasure is the stuff that I don't really expect to make me rich in the pocket, but very, very rich in my heart and happiness. I mean, God, artists I'd love to work with, this band out of Australia called Carnival, you know, another band out of Australia called Dead Letter Circus. You know, I mean, basically anyone in that vein where they're less concerned with, you know, creating a flash in the pan fad following, but more of a cult following. You know, that's going to be things like the Deftones, like Tool, so, I mean, just bands that some people think are fringe, but I'm very much part of those cults, and that's the kind of stuff I like to do.
Yeah, no, it's definitely cool. I think there's sort of this really great concept that I've been hearing about where it's that sort of that 1,000 true fans, where it's like if you can really get, you know, a core set of fans that will continuously, you know, go to your shows and buy your records for the rest of your life, it doesn't have to be huge as long as you have a really great support group.
Absolutely.
So I think that's something that a lot of bands find, and I think it's unfortunate that it seems to be more... something that you hear about at least I seem to it be it seems to be something I hear about more in the rock metal world, where like every metalhead that I know, there's always the oh man, you there's this one band that you gotta hear, and then no one else knows, and it's like wow, you listen to it and it's incredible music, and it's just it's so crazy that more people don't really latch on to those things.
That's a great point, because it's those artists, those type of artists that actually never die through all the fads of music. You know, it's these cult followings that survive, you know?
Yeah.
So that's one good way to put it.
So you've obviously done a lot of different things, and you're a songwriter and a producer, and so you have your own projects as well as projects with other people where they're bringing in their own songs. And then you have projects where you're a producer, but you're also helping the artist write their songs.
Correct.
Is there maybe a different approach to all those things, or is that sort of all under the same, you know, little blanket, or...
That's a good question. I mean, the umbrella that I see it on under is, at the end of the day, I mean, and I don't care what other producers try to disagree with this, people like me are and even yourself, when you're songwriting for someone else, we're actually in a service industry, right?
Yeah.
So the only approach I ever take is, you know, a product is in my face, I've been involved, whether I'm a producer or even a mixer or a songwriter only or session musician, whatever it is. One or a set of people have decided there is a dream area, a finish line for this product. Mm-hmm. So I guess the only way, sort of an umbrella answer for this, is I approach it such that, you know what serves the dream area of who's in charge of the product.
Yep.
You know, and I'll lend what I can, you know. Is it supposed to be hook heavy and sort of pop laden? That's one thing. Is it supposed to be, you know, completely progressive and have these looming melodies that are eight, 9 minute orchestrations? Then so be it. But I think at the end of the day I serve whatever it asks. You know?
Yeah.
That makes sense. I hope I answered that correctly.
No, that's really cool. And I guess a follow up to that is, when you're working with an artist, obviously, I think there are certain producers that you hear about who their sound is so distinct or so integral to the process. You know, you think about George Martin with the Beatles, or you think about, you know, Mutt Lang and certain records like Back in Black or Hysteria for Def Leppard. Mm-hmm. How much of you goes into a produced product, and does that change from artist to artist, or is that something that maybe... Is consistent? Do you think that there's a certain line that you won't cross, or does it really just depend on the act?
That's a good question, because, you know, the people in my staff that work with me, my engineers or my assistants, they all seem to say, you know, and these are the technical guys, right? So they seem to say, oh, that's definitely a Dean DeChoso product, or Dean DeChoso should work on this, you should do this, oh, it's obvious you mixed that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting, because... I get what they're saying, and they get that from a technical standpoint. Maybe they're hearing certain things or whatever it is. Maybe there is, you know, some candy melodically or production-wise or mix-wise that I do. I don't really know it. I can't define it. What I do know is that usually if an artist like yourself, you know, comes to me and says, you know, I have this dream of, you know, like this one song is going to have like this sort of uppity rhythm of like, you know, the Contra theme, you know, from Konami, and yet have all these hooks from this Fiona Apple song, I know that I can make that happen. Does that mean I'm in it? I don't necessarily, I mean, besides my name, I don't know. That's what I know that I'm good at.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, admittedly, and touch wood on this, it's like, I've never had to advertise, so people seem to keep coming back for something. Is there a sound? I don't know. Is it an experience? Like, again, it's an amorphous answer, but I don't really know how to answer that question. I guess I'm not full of myself enough, or
I don't know. I think it's, you know, it's probably just one of those questions that's a little bit too complicated to answer. Because I think there's sort of something that everybody does where it's like, well, this sounds good to me, so I guess it's good. But then at the same time, I mean, I know for myself, when I write a song, it's very hard for me to say, well, I mean, I guess this is a good song.
Right.
And it's almost, you have to take it to other people and say, all right, well, what do you think? But but at the same time, you know, it's learning to trust yourself in that process. So
Right.
Now, obviously, we're sitting right now in your home studio.
Yeah.
And so that sort of allows you to be both awesome dad and awesome producer.
Right.
So is sort of, are you able to shut off, or... is it sort of one of those things that always goes? Because I know certain people I know that are able to just sort of turn it off and sort of say, all right, well, that's my work time and this is my, you know, social time, whatever. I know for me, though, it's really sort of impossible to separate the two things. I'm always sort of thinking about what I have going on mm-hmm. no matter where I am. So I mean, how does that work for you?
So your first question was, you know, can I shut off? I think as I've gotten older, you know, and not, this has nothing to do with the kids or anything, but I figured out that I kind of have to. You have to find a way to do it.
Yeah.
Especially, again, it's a service industry. So what good are you to them if you are not at 1,000%? You know, and I mean, yeah, look, I mean, yeah, this is, yeah, we're sitting in a studio you and I have worked in.
Yeah.
You know, it's a commercial ready, you know, analog studio, but it is in my home. So, you know, admittedly, you know, here, this is where I do a lot of private work. You know, I will have private clients here and stuff like that. But so, I mean, it's a little bit more fun and free to work here. But
yeah.
the other two studios I've built in town, you know, that's like kind of like a 9-to-5 office. And by all means, I need the drive home to stop thinking about it,
yeah.
to decompress, you know. But yeah, I mean, I do have to have a shut off period. Can I shut it off? I'd probably be actually lying if I said, yes, I can.
Yeah.
That'd be bullshit if you and I could say that we had to shut it off. That'd be wrong.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a work in progress, always just sort of trying to say, all right, well...
I mean, you could be sitting in the bedroom or, you know, wherever you stay now near USC and, like, you know, be writing one song, but then, you know, drive down to a restaurant, you know, and then, like, you know, you're writing a hook in the car for something else and you're laughing at it and you grab your iPhone and say, I mean, you never turn that off.
No, definitely. That happens all the time. So are there any acts right now that you're really excited about? I mean, obviously you're always working on new stuff. So, I mean, what right now... What do you have going on right now, and what can people know about it?
It's very interesting because I have a large influx of work from that's actually coming out of Texas right now. You know, and it's funny because I'm from Houston, Texas, but these artists are not like from Houston, so it's kind of funny. It's kind of full circle in a way. But you know, one of the records I'm working on right now, you know, actually there's actually four or three records in Texas I'm working on right now. And it's a band called Hindsight from Houston. There's a band I'm mixing a record for now called Dreaming of June. My good friend, great session musician. His name is Chris Goodwin out of Texas. He produced that one. I'm actually in the middle of mixing it now. And then a really awesome band, really fresh sound called To Whom It May. And they're from Galveston. That's what I'm really excited about. I think that's going to be a breath of fresh air for a lot of music right now.
Yeah, I mean, you posted the single for that on SoundCloud, and it was just mind-blowing.
It's pretty cool.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
You're a trio, by the way, if you can believe it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Man, where can people go to maybe hear some of your stuff or find out more about you and what you do?
Yeah, so like I said, admittedly, I don't do a whole lot of advertising. I keep a low profile unless I'm in a band at the time. But there is a DeanDeChoso.com.
Okay.
You know, if you go there now, you're probably going to notice that it needs a heavy update to the discography. But, yeah, it's very simple. I mean, you can go there and see a list of things. You know, I'm slowly building a YouTube channel right now that, you know, focuses on some stuff. But you can get some sounds and some ideas from that.
Man, that's awesome. Well, yeah. Again, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Chase.
Once again, a huge thanks to Dean for coming on the show. It was a really fun conversation. It was great to catch up with him. As always, make sure to rate, comment, and subscribe to us in the iTunes store. And please visit us at createcastpod.com to learn more about our show, our incredible guests, and everything else we're doing. This is episode 12, so you can listen to all of our previous episodes, as well as find out what we're doing next. We have one more episode this season, but you know what? The response has been so incredible that I think we're just going to keep going. So a huge thanks to everybody who's been listening, and welcome to the show if you're new. Once again, I'm your host, Chase Kay, and this has been CreateCast. Thanks. As you know, we often have our guests sign off by saying, make good for the podcast. That's our little slogan, but luckily Dean does some voiceover work on the side and has just the coolest voice in the world. So here is a little something special from Dean.
This is Optimus Prime, reminding you to make good, Sam Witwicky.